Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Ah, that's us.
We are broadcasting live and worldwide from, you know what kind of bunker it is. What's up, Nima Vidati? How was your day? I don't care. Let's talk. I'm sorry. How was your day? How was your day, dear?
It was all right. A whole lot of driving around and not as much work as I'd like to see. And they just stuck some guy with me to train, even though he's not going to be doing my job. They're like, just take this guy with you. And I'm like, okay. I don't know what I'm going to show him, but yeah, there you go. Look, that's called cable. How's that? Yeah, so yeah, it was one of those kind of days where, you know, you're sitting in there and you don't really know what to say, and it's kind of awkward because there's somebody sitting next to you in the truck and you kind of don't know what to talk about. Even though I am kind of a talker, I'd always try to play it off to my wife like, no, you're the one who talks a lot. But she's like, you're the one who talks all the time into a microphone. But it's different, man. It's different talking to a microphone.
Your wife is not a talker. She may be a talker to you, but she's not a talker in the Talkers Magazine sense of talker. And not just because she doesn't have a show. She will – a talker in my definition of it, which is why that I think that magazine's called Talkers. But like when I was a little kid, they said that one sure is a talker.
Yeah.
You know, I once heard this definition from a drummer – Not Tony Fagg, different drummer that I played with, who said, this guy named Ruben, who said that a true lead singer will drop trow anywhere, anytime, which basically meant like both drop your pants if someone asks you to, and also will sing anywhere, anytime. I remember like he said he liked singing with me because, you know, like when we tried out to play with each other, like somebody was setting up the mic and I was playing bass and he was bashing on the drums and someone was playing guitar and the mic wasn't even on yet and I was singing at the top of my lungs. And he said that the last guy singer he'd tried out, like the guy was like, oh, this, I can't sing. I don't have any of my lyrics here. And I was just going like, yeah, life is good. Yeah. My cats just ran away when I did that. But, yeah, you know,
that sounds like you, Michael.
Yeah.
That,
you know, a true singer will drop trow anywhere, anytime. And, you know, a true talker will talk anywhere, anytime. And I have tried to talk to your wife, and she won't talk to me. She won't talk on the radio show. And I've talked to her twice on the phone in 4 years. Once when I wanted to say hi, and once when I was looking for you and thought you'd been droned.
Yeah, yeah. She's not that kind of a talker.
About talking.
But she's a woman, and so she will talk to her significant other, because that's what, well, I guess it shouldn't be sexist, but she's very talkative to me.
That sounded kind of sexist. I talk a lot to my significant other, but then again, I'll talk to anyone anywhere, anytime. And
you,
I like,
you are a talker though.
I like my
you
significant other.
Yeah. I don't mean to be sexist.
I mean, I'll talk to my favorite person in the world, which is my wife, but I'll also talk to anybody.
Yes.
I'm you a will. Talker.
You're kind of hermitized too, though. Do you talk to people when you're out and about, like at the post office? Do you talk to people?
No.
You hate the post office.
I hate the post office
so often.
I hate it because, well, generally DJ goes for me because we share a car.
Oh, okay.
But I hate, in Wyoming, people are really talkative. Like, you know, you're at the post office and the guy in front of you is like, oh, Mabel, oh, how you doing, Bill? And, you know, Mabel will be talking with Bill about Bill's wife's, you know, varicose vein surgery. And I'm looking at my non-existent watch going like, ugh, can't machines do this job yet?
Yeah. The watch look is a really interesting piece of body language. I find myself doing it all the time. Like, if I need some time to answer a question, like somebody's like, oh, well, what happened with that? I kind of like look at my watch before I answer. I'm looking at it for more time. Like, oh, I got to buy some time here while I think of my answer. And then when it's not there, like on days I forget it, I'll just constantly look down at my wrist like a few times a day. Even though I know there's no watch there, I just can't help it. Just got to look down at the wrist. Look at my tan line.
I don't really do that. I don't own a watch. I haven't owned a watch since I was like 15. And yeah. I've kind of structured my life in a way that I don't need to own a watch. And now you don't really need to own a watch because there's a watch in everything, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, I always have the watch of my phone, but sometimes it's hectic to pull my phone out of my pocket. Like, sometimes I need to know now without, like, digging around, searching past my keys, past the six pens in my pocket and find the damn telephone, you know?
Well, that's why it's really weird being on radio for me. I love being on radio, and I'm fine with having to work to a show clock, but it's very strange for me having large atomic radio clocks all over the house, or at least one in my room and one in the bathroom, because I've spent my whole life structuring it in such a way that, like, not only do I not usually know what the date is, I don't usually know exactly what time it is or anywhere near it, and now I know to the tenth of a second.
Yeah, well, ever since I've known you, you've been like that, so I guess I didn't know you back in your drifting days, or your rock star days, I guess we'll call it.
Well, you're talking about two different things. I'm talking about not living on the man's time, but you're talking about me being the man and saying, you're 7 seconds late. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I want to be the man. I don't have an aversion to clocks. I have an aversion to clocks being used against me. I don't mind using them against others.
I see.
And it's not really.
You don't like the aggression of the clock.
I don't like people wasting my time. And when I say I'm going to be somewhere at a certain time, I'm usually there. And when people aren't, and they don't understand that, to me, like 45 seconds late. Because, you know, like when we're meeting on the internet, you know, to talk, I literally have to sit in front of my computer and basically do nothing else and wait for you. I mean, I can, like, check web stats or something, but, you know, I'm sitting here waiting. It's not like there's a big loudspeaker in the house going, it's time.
Because it's so rare that you're just sitting by your computer, right?
No, I'm always sitting by my computer, but I like to compartmentalize my thoughts so they're not, you know.
I see. All right. Fair enough. Speaking of compartmentalizing your thoughts, you were under the impression that there's just too much tyranny today. Mm. The state has won. We should all hang our heads and bow for the death of freedom.
I do not feel that way. I was feeling overwhelmed by it today. A part of it is just that the longer you live as a no-government person, as a I-don't-like-the-government person, the more everything seems like tyranny. And that could probably be used by statists as a critique.
It's a mental health issue.
Yeah,
see?
Basically.
Everything, they're depressed constantly. Everything upsets them.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a psychiatrist asking that question, like, do you believe that everything is a government plot? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I blame the government. I mean, you know, on our blog, we have one of the topics or the groupings that I added, you know, that you can tag a post with is one called I Blame the Government.
Well, I wouldn't say that everything is a government plot. If I was asked that by a psychiatrist, I would say that the government has a plot for everything. Like, there's not one sphere of human life or humanity that the government doesn't have some plan for or some directive for or some suggestion at the very least for, whether or not they have a whole department for it, you know. It's somebody's job to keep an eye on it.
I guess that's kind of how I feel today. I feel like, man, you know, they don't need to outlaw free speech and outlaw guns because they're just going to do it by a million paper cuts. And I felt that way. And you know, maybe I should just rattle off a list of things I've noticed in the past 24 to 48 hours, and then we can come back and dwell on some of them.
Dwell. Okay. We'll yak it all up, and then we'll come back and look and see, oh, you had a hamburger for lunch.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay. Casper Journal. On the local level, council talks excess money, discusses social services decision-making process. So we've talked before about how Casper has a 1 cent sales tax that they call voluntary because they have a vote.
The voluntary 1 cent.
Every year for
it.
Yes. Well, which isn't voluntary because the people who don't who vote against it or don't vote still have to pay it. The interesting thing is it's supposed to be to, like, run the city and, you know, for emergency things and improvement of the city. This year they ended up with a surplus from that, and now they're trying to figure out what to do with it. And I'm thinking, like, Well, why not eliminate it? Yeah, give it back or not have it, man.
Is that one of the options, though? I doubt
no,
it is.
No. And every year they have a vote on it, and they have less and less. You know, it passes by a slimmer margin. I'm wondering what they're going to do when it fails. If they're just going to lie or just decree and say, hey, it's injustice creep. It's been like this forever. We're just going to do it even though you said no.
I don't even know if they do it straight as a sales tax. Because the 1 cent is a sales tax, right? They add an extra penny.
Yeah,
to the sales tax.
Yeah, to the federal.
They would just extract it somewhere else. They would have some actuary do some math and figure out a couple of places
property
to put
tax.
It. Property tax or whatever the case is, whatever their other revenue streams are. You know, an extra fee for their monopoly services on water provision or whatever it is. They'd probably spread it amongst a few things and keep their revenue up.
Yep. Yep, this is going to be like speed dating. We'll talk about that much about each piece of tyranny.
Sure. Let's try it.
Let's see. I sent you something today about it was an article by some lefty talk show host about how the post office should the post office should be in charge of all email traffic. And he actually argued that we would be more secure if the government was in charge of our email than if Google was in charge of it.
Did he not read the New York Times article about the post office also spying on your snail mail?
I guess not. And he actually – I mean, there's people who actually believe the government is compartmentalized. Like, well, yeah, the NSA is bad, but the post office, that's that cheery guy.
Yeah.
And they put a face on it. You know, I've never met anybody from the NSA that I know of, but I see my mailman every day and he's a nice guy. So I can see how somebody would think, you know, mailmen are pleasant. It must be they would be better than Google, you know.
Yeah, well, it happens on the other side too. The righties love to do it too with the military. Like, get this government out of here. I hate big government, but support the troops and don't cut funding for the military. The military is a government program, man. The military and the post office are the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same people you're begging to teach your children to send your kids off to for 8 hours a day and keep good eyes on them. Those are the same people that blow little kids to pieces thousands of miles away. Same people.
Yeah.
Same people. They get their checks come from the same payroll.
Yeah, and this talk show host is named Tom Hartman, or as I call him, Thom, T-H-O-M.
Thom.
Why do people do that? Why do they spell Tom, T-H-O-M? Because it's from Thomas, but okay, Thom Hartman.
Yeah.
He'll probably be working for writing policy for the U.S. government soon. But he concludes this 4-page treatise on why the U.S. government should be in charge of our email, and he said, including secure email. He said, "I'd trust them more with my secure email keys than I would Google." But at the end, he decides that, well, maybe we shouldn't burden the post office with this because they're having trouble staying afloat with snail mail, and we need to let them concentrate on that.
Not that they're so bad at doing what they do now already that we shouldn't give them anything else, just that they need to focus on it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not what it is. It's that when you give a company or when you give a group of people a monopoly on something, they're going to suck at it. Eventually, they're going to get lazy. They're going to get complacent. They don't have any market factors to shape their policies or their behavior or their treatment of their so-called customers. And so they're going to end up not being very good at whatever it is they do. And how awful that people – in this day and age, still haven't internalized the Lord Acton thing that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, the NSA doesn't – they're not horrible. They're not – it's not because the NSA hires people who are bad people and that's their job and they just look for these sinister people that want to spy on everybody all the time. No, it's that the government created an agency. Probably people like Tom Hartman were thinking of it this way. They created an agency to do a specific task, and that agency just gets power hungry and grabs and grabs and grabs and gets worse and worse and worse and steps outside of their bounds and does what they want to because they can.
Yeah.
Because they have the power to.
Yeah. And this Saturday I'm going to be doing a kind of extensive review of a book while Nima goes, yeah. and drops mad science like that, but I couldn't get two copies of it. It's called the $50 and Up Underground House Book. I finally got this in the mail.
Yes.
It's not about making windowless bunkers. It's about making windowed, really nice houses that are mostly underground and have one side facing out for light and a view.
I want to do that.
It's an amazing book.
$50 or the book costs $50?
No, you can do it for $50. Well, it was written in 1974. He's updated it since then, but this was written in 1974, and there's extensive discussion in here of how federal building codes got instituted locally. I'm going to read that section on Saturday as well as talk about the book. But it's pretty, you know, it's like you say, they don't hire evil people, but the whole system makes everyone do evil things.
Yes.
And I never really thought about building codes much till I read this book. And it's written by a guy in Idaho, which probably has less building codes than anywhere. But and he's kind
any kind of code like that leads to unintended consequences. And in essence, it's people saying, "Yeah, we'll come down and steal your property if you don't make it how we want it to be made."
Yeah,
it's a homeowners association with guns pointed at you.
Yeah,
if you can think of some of the most horrible. Yeah, it's a horrible thought.
Although it's not even that, because an HOA you agree to join.
You agreed to it. Yeah, you signed something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Completely different thing.
All right. Moving on. I've been watching this show, Bones, which makes you go, ugh.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. It's a really statist, you know, fun cop drama about an FBI forensic investigator. Actually,
forensic and statism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got all the best of it. It's kind of like.
I've always hated the forensic thing in TV shows, man.
It's kind of like CSI, but it's federal instead of state. And they work through an agency called the Jeffersonian Institute, which is basically, you know, the what's it called? The place where they keep the Constitution in D.C. What's it called?
Smithsonian.
Yeah, it's basically Smithsonian under it. I think Smithsonian didn't want to be associated with it. But it's actually the Department of Defense or the Department of Justice. I forget which, but one of them is in the credits of every episode consulting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know how we talked about how that show Dragnet was sponsored by the LAPD, and it was the first kind of like, you know, paid government show showing you how to behave. This is kind of like that. There's so many lessons for the state in this. Oh, and I just saw a really funny, this was I saw a Beavis and Butthead the other day where they're watching a Frank Sinatra video on MTV because he did a duet with Bono from U2. And in it, they didn't know who he was. Beavis and Butthead are like, who is that guy? That's Frank Sinatra. And they finally decide it's the guy from Dragnet. Because you know it's nice. It's a handsome 50s looking gentleman in a suit with a skinny tie. Yeah. In this episode, there's an episode of Bones that really disgusted DJ and I. It's called the proof. No, it's not the proof. It's the goop in the girl. It's episode 10 of season 5, and it's a very strange title. Basically, a guy dressed as Santa wearing a strap-on bomb goes in to rob a bank and says, you know, and that this has happened where like somebody puts someone a bomb on someone at gunpoint and makes them rob a bank. It has happened, especially in South and Central America, but it's happened in America. But in this episode, the Santa blows up before he gets out with the money. And then they find out that the bomb was triggered by a pirate radio station signal. And it's a pirate radio station broadcasting on shortwave that is it's really weird because the guy is obviously modeled after Alex Jones. His delivery is absolutely like Alex Jones.
But it was made before Alex Jones was ever on the airwaves.
It was made a few years ago. He's been on the air forever.
Oh, this is Bones. I was thinking of Dragnet still for some reason. Okay.
And in this episode, first of all, the guy is black, which is really weird. This show is totally like anti-racist in that they will make the criminals all races all the time. And there's a Persian guy who was a Muslim who works in the lab. But the black pirate radio guy sounds – his delivery is very similar to Alex Jones. He's obviously modeled on him. And he – but his rap kind of sounds – his attitude – you know, his ideas and beliefs kind of sound like somewhere between a mixture of Sovereign Citizen and Occupy Wall Street, which could be kind of like Alex Jones, but he's more both of those things than Alex Jones is. But he's black, but he sounds like Alex
Jones. They were just
trying
to lump all the dissent into one character so that people on one side would think it's Alex Jones and people on the other side would think it was Amy Goodman or something.
Right. And they originally they kicked down this guy's door and they assume that he set off the bomb intentionally because he talks about how horrible the government is and how banks and corporations are stealing your money and how the government is tyrannical and not abiding by the Bill of Rights. And in every episode, there's a scene where that FBI agent who's played by the guy who played Angel, you know, you mentioned that, where he basically like threatens to kill somebody in the interrogation room and violates their constitutional rights and then gets the truth out of them every episode. So that happens. Right. And then it turns out what happens is the bomber was somebody completely different that didn't know this guy. Oh, no, he was a listener. It turns out he was a listener. He may have been inspired by the guy, but took it further than the guy would have. The guy wasn't violent. And put this bomb on this guy to rob a bank because he believed banks were evil. And the guy's pirate radio signal was on a close frequency and accidentally detonated the bomb early. So at the end, he's not told by the FCC to stop or anything like that. But at the end, they have this kind of Christmas montage. It's Christmas and they show everybody, all the characters at their different Christmases with a Christmas song playing through it, a kind of somber Christmas song. And then it shows this black sovereign citizen dude, ex-Marine, in his house talking into his RE-20 with the same mount I have, the RE-20 mount, and he's saying, and I've decided that my actions are not good, and I've been preaching hate, and so this will be the last broadcast I ever make, and the last words I ever broadcast are peace on earth. And then he turns off his transmitter. I'm like, fuck what? You, man. That's the lesson.
No.
Like, somebody else killed somebody, so stop talking. Like, that's the payoff in this episode.
That's the most statist, silly, kindergarten thing I've ever heard.
Absolutely. It really is.
Yeah, one person dies randomly, so you must be punished.
Yeah.
That's what the statists always want to do,
he
right?
Punished
they
himself.
Want to punish people.
No. It's that thing of, like, you know, the hero's journey. Like, friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. Yeah. Everyone learns a lesson. Everyone's a little richer for the experience. He learned the lesson that his hate was somehow not tacitly unconnected to some bombing, so he had to stop.
Yeah, and I don't even think that would happen in real life. If he became aware of something he wasn't aware of before, he would incorporate it into his talk. I mean, that's what we do. I mean,
well, he did. He said peace on earth and then turned off his transmitter forever.
But he turned off his transmitter forever, though.
Yeah.
If he really wanted to make a difference, wouldn't he try to convince his following of peace rather than hatred?
Right.
If he really thought he was spewing hatred, he would stop spewing hatred and take the goodwill he's earned and the trust he's earned from his audience and turn that into something beneficial. That would be a true amends if he did anything wrong, which it doesn't sound like he did.
Yeah, but you're wiser than those people, but for some reason they don't want to hire you and I to write for Hollywood.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
They want to dumb it down. It's like that Lupe Fiasco song.
Yeah. Which one?
Yeah. Dumb it down.
Dumb it down.
That's the name of it.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe we'll play it. It's a Wednesday show. Yeah. Oh, I guess we don't play stuff for breaks. We used to when we did live broadcasting on our own streaming server. Remember those days?
Yeah.
If we wanted to take a pee-pee kitty, we had to go play radio. We had to go play music.
Yep. All right. So next order of tyranny, the Department of Justice is cutting the budgets vastly to providing the free lawyers when you get arrested in their system for their stupid laws.
Uh-huh.
Basically, you know, the government always does the thing where when they want to steal more money and some politician says, but that's not constitutional. And, you know, they cut back a little bit on the advancement of their stealing. They always cut back in places where people are going to complain the most.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So they're cutting back on the constitutional requirement that they fund, you know, the attorney, the attorney that isn't working for money elsewhere to defend you in their labyrinth. Someone complained we don't cite things. This is from CourthouseNews.com, which is a respected legal journal.
Yes. Well, the reason courthouse news is so great is because all they do all day is look at lawsuits as primary sources and quote the lawsuits themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a good – I mean, people can lie in their lawsuits, so take it with a grain of salt. But it's a good way to look at what people are accusing other people of. And there's a lot of good stuff you can find in there that just is mind-blowing because it's with – without regard to borders or what's going to play, you know, have a story that has legs. Like, I think my favorite courthouse news thing recently was the couple or the family that was suing the cops. I think it was in Nevada or Arizona, somewhere in the Southwest, suing the cops on Third Amendment grounds. Soldiers quartered in your homes, in your domicile, because the cops kicked them out of their homes so that they could spy on a couple having a domestic dispute next door.
Yep. And the really funny thing about this whole thing is the main aspect of the justice system complaining about this is that a bunch of judges got together and wrote a letter to Vice President Joe Biden telling him why the state will suffer if we cut the budgets for the what do you call the attorneys when you can't afford one?
Public defenders.
Public defenders. I almost said the public access attorneys. It might as well be that.
Public access attorneys. Yeah. That's about the quality. No, I don't want to hate on people.
And that's not always true. Sometimes they're good ones, but they don't have to be. You know, there's a belief that public defenders suck. Basically, a lot of times they're really good attorneys, but they don't have a lot of time to devote to you as they would if you were paying them. They'd have more time. So read this thing I just sent you in this letter to Joe Biden. Now, we remind you that Joe Biden is the guy who said, you don't need an AK. You don't need a handgun. I have a shotgun. I told my wife, if anyone comes on our property, go up on the balcony and fire two shots into the air. Like, basically, he said, commit a misdemeanor or possible felony if someone steps on your lawn. And that's his gun safety idea and self-defense. So go ahead and read what they wrote to this wonderful guy, Joe Biden.
Yeah, so you want me to read what they wrote, or do you want me to read the introduction from Courthouse News, too?
Both of them. Read what I sent you.
Okay. So according to Courthouse News, the judges cautioned that deep cuts are unsustainable and pose a threat to public safety and asked senators to carve out an exception for the judiciary should they extend sequestration another year. Quote, as the boots on the ground in our nation's federal trial courts, we have experienced firsthand the effect of those constraints and funding reductions, the letter states. They have forced us to slash our operations to the bone, and we believe that our constitutional duties, public safety, and the quality of the justice system will be profoundly compromised by any further cuts.
Public safety.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is how people complain in any government goon office whenever there are cuts, though. This is everybody from the dog catcher to the judges, you know.
Yeah, the public safety thing, I'm wondering what that is. Are they thinking that someone who sold a bunch of drugs peacefully will get overturned once they're in prison because they'll later be proven that they didn't have good legal counsel or something? How is public safety affected from a judge's standpoint by not having enough good maybe prosecutors will have to dump some cases and not take them all to court is what it is.
That could be what they mean, yeah. Or maybe there's more cuts that we're not seeing here in the story. I mean, maybe they're more across-the-board cuts, or they're just cutting budgets and they leave it up to the individual jurisdictions to decide how the cuts are applied. It almost sounds like they're trying to trick people into thinking that they're going to cut bailiffs or security guards or something like that. But I doubt they would ever do something like that.
I mean, saw one on Fox News today, a Stato story of we must steal more money. It was about and I can't remember where this was, and I'm sure Gretchen is going to complain that I'm not sourcing this correctly. We'll get to that after the break.
But, it could be so bitter.
Sources? I don't need any stinking sources. Now, we're going to talk about that in the second part. But it was a piece about somewhere in America where there's a dam that's holding back a bunch of water, and it's in worse shape than any dam in America. and it may break in any time and flood like 24,000 homes or something. And, you know, it was painted in this thing of like, we need more money for, you know, Obama's fix the bridges and infrastructure system. And I'm like, there have been studies on that to where like almost no money appropriated to that actually went to fixing bridges and roads. Do you think that governments, and I'm not picking on the U.S. government, do you think that governments ever in a situation like that sabotage the infrastructure to like get the money in some countries?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I could see it. It wouldn't be – I wouldn't put it past them. I'll put it that way. I can't cite anything or even think of anything off the top of my memory. But I guess I always thought that they wouldn't need to, right? I mean, given enough time, stuff falls apart and needs repairs, and all they would have to do is not repair it. I mean, why would they go through the extra effort to sabotage something?
Yeah. So do you have more comments on that before we break? I could take more comments on that. I could take all you got, Nima.
On that one, no, but I guess we'll go ahead and take a little market reprieve here, and then we'll come back, and there's plenty more
tyranny where that came from.
Just a bit. We'll tyranny, go
skip down to the market. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Don't take responsibility for something being the truth.
Hey, I got a sec. You know what? That was not recording. I totally apologize. Recording. Let's start again. So I was in a bad mood earlier today because I forgot to record that whole part. No, because I've been working really, really hard on trying to get more affiliates. I'm spending probably 30 hours a day making phone calls, which is a lot of time to spend on the phone. And we got 8 stations right out the block. And then in like a month, and then in the past month, we haven't gotten any more. I mean, we've had a lot of like, yeah, I like it. I'll find a place for it. Call me in 3 months or 6 months or whatever.
Yeah.
But we had a big lull there. So what I did for a minute to kind of like, you know, they say, you always say, well, maybe you should take a day off from it. And that's not how I work. I can't work that way. I'd be sitting here going, I should be making calls. So what I did was I tried to do something that I thought would work for sure. And I did it, which is basically I started calling Part 15 radio stations, which are radio stations that are so low powered they don't require licensure. You know, we jokingly call those the most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area, but you can actually you can actually reach about a mile without an FCC license, and people do it. And I called a couple of them, and one of them said, yeah, and is starting us, actually started us last Saturday. We'll announce them this Saturday. And it's a cool thing. And it's not, I'm not saying like, you know, it's kind of like a well-known band that usually plays in halls, calling up a club and saying, can we play there? Like, not saying like we're grand and they're nothing. It's nothing like that. But it's pretty likely that if you called a club and you were a band that usually plays like a 2,000 seat theater and you said, hey, can we play your club that holds 100 people tonight? They'd be like, yeah, you know. So
right.
I did that to give me a gimme and make me feel good. So we're on one of those and possibly two of those starting this Saturday, and it felt really good, man. But then tonight someone called us from a 5,000-watt station in New Mexico after I was in a bad mood and screeching on the phone. You thought I was screeching at you. I was kind of screeching at the idea of citing things and having to put citations in be literary or attribution. I was kind of like, I don't know what that is. But then we got a call from this station in New Mexico. It's not in Albuquerque, but it's in a, you know, it's in a place outside of it, like where Walt and Jesse would drive out with their camper van, probably. You know, a place with a lot of cow houses, as Jesse would say. But still a lot of people, too. So I was really psyched about that. We're probably starting on that in 2 weeks. I'll have more information. I don't say the name of stations or the towns until it's in writing because I don't want to jinx it.
But yeah, of course not.
So read this letter. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No. So, you wanted me to read Gretchen? Tell us why you want me to read this comment from Gretchen.
Yeah, because you and I were talking before the show, and it's kind of pre-gaming as you were driving home, and I was like, man, there's been so much tyranny. I can't even keep track of it. And we started to, you know, list it a little bit. And it wasn't even something from the notes, and I mentioned something in passing, and you said, what's that from? And it was like, I had this whole litany I just wanted to give you, you know, the titles of. And you asked me a reasonable question about one of them, about what court something happened in. And I was like, hang on, I'll go look it up. And I was like, fuck, man. And here's what happened. Okay, this story was California wants small business owners to pay back $120 million in tax breaks, which is kind of unheard of, where like they pass a law, invite a bunch of people to move to the state, borrow money, you know, put their house up to start a small business, give them a tax break to get them there, and then a few years later get greedy and say, no, we're not going to do that tax break, and you got to give our money back. You owe us a whole bunch more money, and it's going to put people out of business, and they're going to lose their houses. So I told you this, and you were like, what's the source? And you were like, what court decided it? Which is a valid, very valid question. And I went to the source, which was Fox News. They didn't.
Well, it wasn't Fox News. It was like a Fox affiliate.
Well, they didn't have the Sacramento
or something.
They didn't have the name of the court, but they were citing a Fox affiliate in Sacramento. And I went to the original, and it didn't have it. And I searched the title of it on, and like everybody was just citing that one article, that one short article that said a court has decided. So then I tried to watch, after I talked to you, I tried to watch the video from that Fox News affiliate of the news story, and it played like 2 seconds of it and then played like a 60-second Ford truck ad that I couldn't skip through, and then and then stopped. And I'm like, okay, I guess I pressed the start button again or wait. And I tried that 3 times and it wouldn't play the damn story. There was some error in their programming. So it was like basically I'm trying to find out what court in California screwed a bunch of small businesses, and it's being like cock blocked by this ad for this giant business that's in bed with the government. It's probably accidental, but it just added to my, you know, I guess we said it's a mental illness of thinking everything's tyranny. It felt like tyranny, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that is something that happens on the internet. Sometimes something will get passed around just because of the structure of the internet, and people will just share and share and share and share, and sometimes never really look at the source material. And I'm looking right now. I Googled it. Yeah, and it looks like everybody's just repeating that same thing. You know, I guess, and we got a comment from Gretchen saying, hey, where do you guys source your historical facts? Which is kind of different from sourcing current event facts or news articles. I guess where I'm landing on right now is we can be transparent Like, if we don't know where something comes from, we don't have to go find it before we say it. But we can say it and be like, hey, that's what so-and-so said.
Yeah, I
if
mean, you said,
think it's wrong, go find out yourself.
You said a few minutes ago, like, yeah, I often source stuff from Scott Horton, and he's a really smart guy, and he talks to really smart people who really know their stuff. And I'm thinking, like, that as a footnote would be laughable. And I know we're not saying we need footnotes, but, like, that's the best we have time to do, because Nima works a full-time job, and then I spend all day, you know, like 30 hours a week probably making phone calls, and then 30 to 40 hours a week doing other stuff for the Fiends. We are not a news organization who can hire and source somebody to sit around and source stuff. If any Fiends would like to do this, it's going to be a lot of work, and basically what it's going to be is I'm going to send you our notes, you know, 2 hours before the show, and you can look it all up and then make a web page of it, or after the show. If someone wants to do that, Gretchen or anyone else wants to do that, they can do that. You know, she said, you know, Ben Stone, she asked about him. He often cites Wikipedia, which isn't lazy, but the lazy thing is, and, you know, I'd like to see Ben doing – I don't even care, man. I just believe it because it's Ben. But Wikipedia usually has citations. If you click on the footnotes, you can go to the bottom and see where something's from.
Yeah. 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 I mean, the thing is, we're a talk radio show. So I think as long as we're transparent about our process,
which
that's
is basically
the best.
That we don't have one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like we do source things. Like, I will say where I'm reading from. If I'm reading an article online, I'll say it comes from this, and you'll say, "Oh, that's a I don't know why we're reading something from them. They're pretty kooky."
And I
or
went
you'll
to
say,
the,
okay, they're kind of reputable.
I went to the
and
trouble.
We'll do a critique.
I went to the trouble to find the season number and episode number and episode name of the Bones that we referenced.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't know. We're not historians, and we're really not even journalists at this point. I say I'm a former journalist,
and I
now
you know,
I'm a opinion purveyor. I'm a commentator. You know,
and
I don't find the news. I just talk about it.
And basically, the beauty of the Fiends is that it sounds like two guys sitting around talking. And if you've ever been around two guys who are sitting around talking and you go, you interrupt them and say, what's the source for that? They're going to not want you to be around them talking. And I'm not saying Gretchen's bad. I'm just saying, like, a couple other people have brought this up, and I don't even care if this sounds like it's lazy or like it's a cop out. It's like, I don't have time to do it, man. I really don't. And most of what we talk about is not the daily news and what's happening today. And I often tell program directors
that
when they want to program us delayed, I'm like, you know, like they're like, well, I want to play your Sunday show on Monday, but you know, it'll be stale by then. And I'm like, no, it won't, you know, it's not, we're not like that. If we're talking about the breaking news of Edward Snowden, you know, we're not going to talk about it for 4 hours as breaking news. We're going to say, yeah, we told you this was happening a year ago.
Right. Although when you read Gretchen's comment, I really think what she was getting at was history. When we say things like the founding fathers, you know, the people who wrote the Constitution and the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, two different groups of people. You know, there was only 8 people that were in the same group of people, and 7 of them you've probably never heard of. You know, I just attribute that to Ben Stone, and I trust him. And you, if you as a listener think, hey, that's BS, I doubt that. Public school told me my whole life there was a group of people called the Founding Fathers. Then go look at it and show us we're wrong.
I have a better citation
for
that. It's the book Hologram of Liberty by Boston Tea Party, although he wrote it He wrote it under his real name of Kenneth Royce, and that book is heavily annotated with footnotes.
Yeah.
And I don't have it in front of me because I tend to give books away when they're really good so other people can read them. And that's what I did with my signed copy of his book that he gave me. So I don't have it, man.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that transparency is the most important part. And I think that's all Gretchen was asking for. And I think we're pretty transparent most of the time. You know, we don't sit here and go, I've got the documents and wave pieces of paper
with blurry
in front of
red
the microphone
X's on them.
Or anything like that. We say, yeah, I kind of know about this, or this is what I heard from so-and-so, or this is what I read from this source. And I think we do cite people like that. But as far as this being a lecture, it's not that. And as far as it being, you know, MLA-style citations or footnotes, it's not that.
What's MLA?
I don't know. Isn't that like a style of citation you had to learn in college?
I don't know. You're making that up. Give me your citation on that.
Yeah, there you go. I'm being transparent. I remember it in my brain. I think it was from college.
Modern Language Association.
Yeah, let's see. Formatting and Style Guide. Citation. Yeah, MLA citation.
I like how like I'm saying it, and you're like, well, no, I cited it. You can move on.
Ah, well, there you go.
We don't have time to cite most things. We really don't have time to double check them.
Just believe me, man.
Yeah.
Just believe you. Okay. Believe I've heard me. That before. That's, isn't that what the state says?
That's pretty Trust much us. My answer.
We have intelligence.
Yeah, that's my answer for everybody who wants citations is like, trust
like
me,
Donald
man.
Rumsfeld.
And you know, I do occasionally get stuff wrong because there's so many thoughts floating through my head and people sending me stuff and I will correct stuff. I corrected on two different episodes. I mistakenly said that TrueCrypt was not open source. TrueCrypt is open source, and I said that now on three casts. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess who is our citation? Who's our fact checker after the fact?
Oh. After the fact. There you go. Yeah. If we get something wrong, we'll say it. So you the audience, we'll fiend source it. If we get something wrong, tell us. We'll tell everybody. And if we're looking for, you know, one of the cool things about Scott Horton and the way he sources, he always says, can I get a footnote for that? And people in his chat room will just email him or message him in the chat room a link. And he'll look at the link and go, oh, yeah, so-and-so says. So I guess we don't really have a chat room for this show anymore, but, you know, not on a recorded Wednesday cast. But, yeah, man, let's talk radio. Speaking of citations, I could cite something. The Washington Post says that Bradley Manning was sentenced to 35 years in prison this morning. Was that on your list of tyranny, Michael?
No.
No? Well, it is. He was finally sentenced, so
I can't keep up, man.
I guess he didn't get the 90 years we were all worried about with the life-extending drugs to make sure he lives through it all to be in that torturous hellhole that is federal prison. But, you know, I hate to say it's a silver lining, which is what antiwar.com citation said. I don't think it's a silver lining at all. I still think it's horrible.
How many years
it may
did
be
he
a
get?
Bait and switch.
How many
35.
Years? Okay,
but
and
he's
according
got time
to,
served.
According to Wikipedia, he is 25 years old. So 35, 45, 50. So he'll be 60 when he gets out. Yeah,
well, he's
man.
Only required to serve a third of it, apparently, and people think he'll get off for good behavior. And he's already got like 3.5 years of time served from his speedy trial, taking the length of time it takes somebody to get a college degree.
Plus a few days off for torture.
Plus a few days off for torture. I think that's included in his time served. I'm not sure. Yeah, exactly. And it is literally just a few days compared to what he went through. It should have been case dismissed, but it wasn't.
And I'm thinking like everything he was charged with, the government does as part of their general operations. Violating the Espionage Act, the government spies on its citizens and other governments constantly. Stealing government property, I mean, the government can't really steal government property.
Can't, or they
but
can't own property.
They steal everyone else's property all the time.
Government property is an oxymoron.
Violation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. How does the government commit computer fraud and abuse? Well, I guess I would say by the NSA giving tips to local police and then saying – then somebody saying work this backwards and prove the evidence elsewhere, and then
the justice laundering as broke by Reuters
and
citation.
Then multiple counts of disobeying orders. I guess the government can't disobey orders because they believe them to be the ultimate orderer. So
yeah, the orderer of last resort.
You know, I was looking up some agencies I didn't know existed, which is kind of bizarre that there's so many of them, and people wonder why there's no money, even though they steal more than they ever have. But the United States Government Printing Office, which came out of which used to be in Pueblo, Colorado, but now is kind of everywhere and is in charge of running a bunch of government websites and printing what else they do? They print passports, you know, the little digital encrypted chromed robot passports.
RFIDs and
passports. Yeah. But they have their own police force. And I'm like, really? Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not done with Manning yet, man. Because wasn't it – it was a year or two ago, and I'm being transparent here. I don't remember the dude's name, and I can't cite a source for you. But wasn't there a guy that led a massacre pretty much in Afghanistan? It was less than 20 and more than 10. It was in the teens, the amount of people that most people presumed were innocent that were killed by this guy who was in charge of this military unit. And he was charged, basically, I think, with manslaughter, and I don't even think they sentenced him, or it was dismissed, or he got some kind of token slap on the wrist, and it was a big deal a couple of years ago. So when people actually have literal blood on their hands, if they're willing to still say, you know, I was doing it for the state, everything for the state, nothing against the state, in that kind of fascist Mussolini mindset, they get nothing but a slap on the wrist, you know? When the state actually does horrible things, nothing. And Bradley Manning, who does nothing but, you know, people credit him with helping to end the Iraq War, helping to end one of the most horrible atrocities ever committed amongst humanity. Part of that ending was because of the truth he helped to put out, things like the collateral murder video, and he gets thrown in a cage.
Whereas the thing that ended the Cold War was basically the spread of information and 10th generation cassette tapes of Bruce Springsteen leaking over the borders and blue jeans being smuggled in. But Ronald Reagan stood in front of the parade and said, tear down this wall, and said he did it. And he's remembered as a hero for ending the Cold War, and Bradley Manning helped end a war, and he's in prison. And Reagan, really what Reagan did was help set up to transfer the Cold War from a war against communism to a war against the American citizens. That's the new Cold War. That's where it went.
Yeah. Man, it's just – you're right. Maybe there is too much tyranny. But people are upset still about the Bradley Manning thing. I mean, that if anything, is the silver lining, is that at his sentencing, there were people there protesting and yelling, we'll still fight for you. We'll still fight for you, Bradley. And the fact that so many people still hold him as a hero, you know, I guess that to me is the silver lining. Not that he only might serve 8 years, because that's still an atrocity. And I feel like the only reason they charge him with 120 years at first and then drop it down to 90 and then only give him 35 and he might only serve 8, it's that bait and switch. You know, it's the same reason that the prosecutors get everybody to plea out with the plea deal, is they throw the full weight of the Leviathan state at you as the threat. And then they get you to still cop out to some kind of horrible sentence. But they make it seem so scary at first, like a pufferfish or something.
I don't think he could have not taken the plea, though. Wasn't this a military court proceeding?
Yeah, there was no optional plea for Bradley Manning.
Yeah.
They were trying to get him to point the finger at Julian Assange throughout the trial. They were trying to get him to basically set up the dominoes for them to capture Assange next and do some horrible things to Julian Assange. But he never took the bait. He said it was his decision to do it. It wasn't Assange sitting there begging him and pleading him for these documents. It was him, Bradley Manning. He owned up to that, and that's really awesome of him. One of the reasons why people consider him a hero is he said, I did this for the American people so that they could see the truth. And that's what he did objectively. And there's no way you can say that that's not what he was doing without being a liar. And this person who did nothing but try to tell the truth of what the United States government was doing, he's paying a price for it, a hefty price.
You know what the name of the guy who narked Bradley Manning out was?
Lame-o.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Lamo, but I call
him like
Lamo.
It looks like L-A-M-O. It's Lamo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say Lamo.
And he Lamo tried to get him to say it was to push him into it being something worse too. Like Lamo was trying to sell him, hey, why don't you just sell all this information to the Chinese or Russians and get them to pay you a whole bunch of money? And Lamo in court said that Bradley Manning told him, "No way, man. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing here but giving the truth to the American people."
Yep.
In hopes that they will change the policy.
you know what, Bradley?
Kind of starry-eyed and naive, but good intentions. You know?
You know what Bradley Manning's internet nick was while doing all this? Bradass 87. Bradass.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah. Bradass. I'm a Bradass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do have a correction while we're on our truth tip. Thanks to Gretchen. Gretchen's never going to listen to us again. We're not picking on Gretchen. I've heard this from a few different people, and I'm kind of like, I don't know what that is. Transparency? Citation? I don't know. Sources? I can't. How about this? We can't name our sources.
That's what we'll do from now on.
Yeah,
but an anonymous source tells us.
Yes, no. An anonymous source, Wikipedia. The correction I have is that I made a joke last week about Sergeant Dan Banning, who is the bad cop that I play in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. I said something about Sergeant Dan Banning and Sergeant Brad Manning. Bradley Manning was not a sergeant. He was a private first class. Someone pointed that out to me, and I'd like to throw myself on the mercy of the Liberty Court in I made a mistake.
You were just trying to make it rhyme, man. You get passed for rap justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or poetic justice, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But,
I'll take it. But yeah, he was a private. He wasn't a sergeant. He was a private with more integrity than any sergeant ever or general ever, except maybe General Smedley Butler. No, way more than General Smedley Butler, because Smedley Butler didn't realize it until he was gone and retired and left the military. Did he say, hey, war is a racket and it's a bunch of BS and you guys are being fooled by these people who have nothing but self-interest at heart and will send people to their deaths and kill people to get what they want and to get more power and money. He didn't say that until he was gone, gone, gone. Bradley Manning put out the truth while he was in the belly of the beast.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Is that how you say it?
Arpaio.
Yeah, that guy.
Arpaio.
I just saw a headline about him. It said, "Armed militias, beware or be shot."
Ugh. Yeah, man.
And
we're
talking,
getting to that.
He's talking about Border Patrol people who are kind of playing cop on their own right. But apparently one of them thought one of Joe Arpaio's I'm not going to bother to say his name correctly. Joe Arpaio's
he doesn't deserve it.
They thought one of his deputies was a drug smuggler and going across the border and pointed a weapon at him. So there's a little more to the story than the headline, but the headline, I don't think that's too far off, and I'm sure I don't know for a fact, but I'd be willing to bet that he approved that headline and probably had full cooperation of whoever wrote that story.
It doesn't even have to be approved headline. It's Associated Press, and he's quoted as saying they could end up – the paraphrase is they could end up, but the quote is 30 rounds fired into – end quote, them by one of his deputies. So he said 30 rounds fired into was the direct quote by the AP. So
it sounds like being shot to me.
Yeah. Well, here's another direct quote from Arpaio in the Associated Press. If they continue this, there could be some dead militia out there, which I guess he's not saying I'm going to kill them, but pretty darn close if you read between the lines there.
Well, it does sound like it's saying I'm the only law here. Don't try to be the law.
I'm the only one.
I think that's the bigger issue for him, is that somebody else is trying to step on his monopoly voluntarily. I'm not in favor. I'm not in favor of people volunteering to patrol the border with weapons. And I know that Mike V used to do that, but he doesn't do it anymore. And he stopped doing it before his health issues really came up to a head. So it's not because of that. I don't know if he saw the light or what. I think that was one of the questions we had for him, but we didn't have time to get around to it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any sympathy for people who I don't have any sympathy for that action, we'll say, of volunteering your time for state violence, because what is a border? It's something the state invents to – that's where they project their powers. Is we have the right – we have the monopoly of force within this imaginary line. And if you think the monopoly of force is illegitimate, why would you ever think the imaginary line is legitimate? It's not, man. Immigration is moving. And people must flow. They're kind of like cats in that regard.
Cats must flow. Yep. So I just sent you a link for something called the Northeastern Megalopolis.
The Megalopolis. Yeah, I almost said Metalocalypse.
Yeah.
Yes. The Megalopolis. That's it. Yeah, this was actually really intriguing to me, man. The Northeastern Megalopolis.
Here, read what I just sent you.
Is Boston, New York, Philly, and Washington. So I'll read what you said. The Northeastern Megalocalypse. Man, I can't get that run right.
Megalopolis. Megalopolis.
Nope, 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 nope.
Megalopolis. Megalopolis.
Megalopolis.
Yeah.
Northeastern Megalopolis, typically defined as a chain of roughly adjacent metropolitan areas. The term was used by Oswald Spengler. Citation in his 1918 book The Decline of the West. Citation Boston, New York, Philly, Washington, Philly and Washington. Free State Project in New Hampshire is the feisty libertarian beanie on the giant statist man's head. Yes,
well, yeah, because
right
when you look at it on a map, this megalopolis of Boston, New York, Philly and Washington D.C., you know, it could be a tall man standing, you know, sort of at an angle, and the Free State New Hampshire is a beanie on the man's head. It's like the little island of liberty on top of this giant swath of statism and people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, there's more than just the Northeastern American one. Apparently, there's some in Europe named after bananas. From London, Liverpool, Manchester, all the way down to Milan, in the middle there, The Hague, Luxembourg, Frankfurt, Munich, is called the Blue Banana. And it's 110 million people live there in the Blue Banana, 110 million Europeans. And then there's, of course, the south of France, which they're not the Blue Banana, the Golden Banana. Turin, Genoa, Barcelona, Marseille, all these French names that I can't pronounce. 30 million people live in the European Sunbelt, also called the Golden Banana.
Remember in the movie Demolition Man, it takes place in the city of San Angeles, which in the future is the city that would be formed by San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego growing into one metroplex. Metalopolis. Megalopolis.
You probably have more experience with the Northeast Megalopolis in the United States than me. Apparently, there's almost 50 million people that live in that megalopolis now, according to Wikipedia citation.
Even on the West Coast, in the highly populated, you know, California belt we just discussed, between those cities, they haven't fully grown together yet. I mean, it's not quite like driving across Wyoming, but if you take the 5 from San Francisco to LA, you know, there's a lot of farms there, and there's a lot of where you don't see a lot of people and a lot of, you know, like in San Francisco, LA, and San Diego, anywhere you are, if you look out a car window or stand on a street corner or anywhere, you're going to be able to count 100 or more houses probably anywhere. And you will see people walking by you. But in between those, they haven't fully grown together yet. But cities do tend to grow outward. I remember going with my band through Houston in like 1987. And we played outside of the edge of town in like a barn. We played a party in a barn for a bunch of people. And then we came back like 2 years later, and that was suburbs. I mean, it had just grown out to there. It wasn't the country anymore. And DJ recently looked at Google Maps at where she grew up in, what is it, Lake, where your brother went to school?
Clear Lake.
Yeah, Clear Lake. And she was just astonished. I mean, she hasn't lived there for 30 some years, and she was astonished. I mean, she was like, this used to be a field, and now this is the city.
Yeah. Houston is like expanding out in a radius. It's sprawl. I mean, it really takes 2 hours to get from one edge to the other sometimes. I mean, from Katy to Clear Lake, like you said. Texas has a burgeoning megalopolis as well.
You want to say it that way?
Lips, man, that word is going
to
be the death.
I mean, it took me four years to learn to say metal. I still can't say it. What is the name?
Metalocalypse. That's what's confusing me. The Metalocalypse.
The name of my favorite show. I can't remember it. Yeah,
that's
can't
it. Say it. Metalocalypse.
Metalocalypse.
Yep. Yeah. The Southern California megapolitan area. It's easier to say megapolitan. But the California megapolitan area has 25 or so million people.
Is that LA and San Diego, or is that also including San Francisco?
According to Wiki, it's Anaheim, Bakersfield, Las Vegas, Long Beach, Los Angeles, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, and Tijuana.
So the southern,
the Texas Triangle is like 16.5 million, and it's Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, and San Antonio. And Austin and Dallas and Houston are not grown together. It's quite a drive, and there's lots of cow houses and emptiness between them.
Well, let's go take a break for the market and then come back and talk about some non-tyranny. I have some non-tyranny, and it involves Texas.
Ah, okay.
I'm going to talk about how to get your own radio station legally. Without getting thrown in a cage and raped.
All right.
Worms.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the Central Scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the Central Scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of FreedomFiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
We're rolling.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. We're rolling. We rolled fast.
I know we rolled fast. Yeah, I changed my tube. I think it's a little better. I did some adjusting. I think it's a little better.
Okay. Good. You were concerned that you were a little bit crunchy.
And I want to be
were
creamy.
A little bit crunchy.
I want to be creamy. Yeah. Creamy.
I want to be creamy.
Audio.
Yeah, creamy.
Creamy radio audio.
Yeah, I always preferred the creamy product to the crunchy product. That's
Although,
just me.
Cream's good on crunchy products.
That's true. Yeah, sometimes I take something crunchy and I just cream all over it, and it's way better.
Hey, do you know where the band Guar got its name?
Guys with
nope.
attitude and rifles?
Nope.
No.
Guar is a shortening of the phrase Guar. My cat ran away again, man.
Is that for reals, or is
yeah,
you just
that's
being
for real? No, it's for real. Okay. I found that out,
cool.
It's and yeah, I guess that's caveman for like Howard Dean going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
A campaign so lame, even a caveman could screw it up.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. This is Nima Vidati. Oh, I don't have to do that. It's Wednesday show.
Yeah.
I could just say fuck statists.
Well, fuck statists.
Yes.
Yep.
Penalize them in every hole.
Oh, man. Yep.
I don't want to get penalized.
So Facebook
I
don't
want to do the penalizing.
Facebook is punishing me for leaving it.
You're getting penalized, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's a secret that I'm back on Facebook under an assumed fake nomenclature.
Is that really a secret?
No.
I couldn't tell.
Well, the only reason I'm back on there is because I wanted to set it up to automatically – there's a widget you can use called RSS Graffiti – that will automatically you can take, put the RSS feed for any website onto your Facebook account, and it will automatically post within a half hour or so, like everything you post on that site. And I was feeling kind of bad about not being on Facebook. I was feeling good about not being on Facebook, but I was feeling bad about asking other admins on the site constantly, please post this, post this, post this. And then I figured out there's a way to machine do that. And I did it, but I had to have an account to do it. So I set up an account. I've got like four friends. I know them all in person. I don't want any more friends. Don't try to figure it out and add me. I've found that works. But when I personally post stuff as either the admin or as that person, and when my bot posts stuff, it doesn't get nearly as – it doesn't get seen nearly as much as it did back when I was on there regularly and had 3,500 so-called friends.
Well, of course not, man. Yeah. If you're doing it on that bot page that only has four friends, there's only four people that are going to see it, right?
Well, but suddenly somehow I've been made the admin of a page that has 900 friends. So, and another page that has 1,300 friends. But I guess it figures, you know, like when Lou posts, when Lou posts something, it's all posting as Freedom Fiends fan page admin. That's the name that comes up, which is kind of weird because sometimes like me and one or two other admins will get into discussion and it looks like a crazy person talking to himself on Facebook, especially when you argue, when we argue.
Yeah. That's great. I love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, Lou is trying to pigeon me right now.
I heard.
I wrote him back and said, busy
noise.
Casting. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about Part 15 Radio. We talked about it before, but I have more information. We're starting this Saturday. We'll announce this Saturday, but we won't go into as much detail about it. We're starting on Lakeshore Community Radio, AM 1650 in Rowlett, Texas, starting this Saturday, which is really cool. I like it.
Yeah, I'm on the radio in Texas.
Yep. You can't hear it outside of the tri-block area, but
Del Gribble's personal radio station.
I know that wasn't, and it's funny because Rowlett, Texas, is one town away from and touches Garland, Texas, which is what Arlen, Texas, is based on. So this literally is like Del Gribble with his most powerful station in the tri-yard area.
Yeah. Is Arlen based on Garland? I always figured it was Arlington, but I guess that's too big of a city for
no.
Arlen to
according
be based on.
To Wikipedia. The creator of that show used to live in Garland, Texas, and says he based some aspects of the town on Garland, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, good for us.
Yep.
And good for Rowlett.
Yeah.
You can now hear the fiends on the radio in
your
chart.
But he does it really right. Like, basically, I wanted to talk about this on the Wednesday show because I don't want to go on the radio and talk about, here's how you can get on the radio legally for $100. You know, for a couple reasons. One, I think it would sound cheesy to program directors, like, wait, they're talking about this. You know, but we did put it in our list of stations we're on, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be on a 100 billion picowatts of tyranny busting power, which is, yeah. You know, 100 billion picowatts is 100 milliwatts. So it's,
pica.
True. Yep.
Uh-huh.
You know, pica is the disease of compulsively eating things that shouldn't
glass?
Be eaten.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything. Like yeah. dirt. Like some yeah. women get that after they're pregnant, don't they? Mm-hmm. They just eat a bunch of dirt. Yeah.
Which is
there was a woman in England who couldn't stop eating newspapers.
Yeah, it's
I don't
it's
have a
different
source.
Though when I well then I'm editing it out. You don't have a source. Gretchen will be mad. No, Gretchen's a true fiend, man. And she's one of the like, you know, there's like 10,000 fiends and like 4 of them are women. So hats off to her. I guess well, we just appeal to the like
that we know of.
We appeal to the angry young man demographic. So
I think so. Yeah,
mostly.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the people that write us. Maybe there's more women listening. But
maybe.
Yeah, so Lakeshore Community Radio, AM 1650 in Rowlett, Texas. They really do it right. And when I say they do it right, first of all, they've got the Procaster is the name of the unit that they use. Now, you can get a Part 15. Part 15 is the part of the FCC code that allows unregulated radio broadcasts up to a certain wattage and milliwattage and strength. And it's not just about the milliwatts. I think it is for AM and not F, but not FM or vice versa or something. You know, an interesting part of that exception of unlicensing is that a campus can have as powerful a transmitter as they want for an educational institute, as long as at the border, at the edge of the campus, it doesn't exceed Part 15 strength regulations. I wonder how stringent the federal government is about determining what is a campus in that belief.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I is Pork Fest a campus? Is the Michigan Liberty Fest a campus? It, people do learn
I doubt
things.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably has to be an accredited university or something.
You know, at some
like
point,
that.
I wonder if anyone's going to have Fiend Fest.
I hope so.
I don't want anyone to do it. Well, they could do it if they want. I just don't want it to happen until we're hugely famous because I don't want to go and have there be 3 people there. It'd be embarrassing.
Does it bug you when the word for something is colored by what part of the law it is? That bugs me. It bugged me when I lived in Washington State and people would quote the law. Like, people in Washington State would say, oh, well, that's against RS 1.556. And I'd be like, what are you, some kind of statist nerd?
Well, that's kind of how I feel about citation. Part 15, that's how I feel about citation, man.
But, okay. I can kind of see where you're going with that. But okay, so there's Part 15. When you wrote that to me in the email, I was like, man, I don't know what Part 15
I know,
is. Sounds like some statist nonsense. And it is statist nonsense. I mean, it's a freedom fix that people can still
– it's a freedom loophole.
Have any
it's
radio station. It's a yeah. loophole, yes. It's a loophole that they want to penalize you in.
Yeah. And it's basically also, not – it's not intended for radio transmitting of talk radio and music, but it can legally yeah. be used for that. It's basically for things like garage door openers and walkie-talkies for kids, you know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's also Section 8. That's the other one that comes to mind that's in modern language everywhere.
Housing.
Everybody knows what Section 8 is. Yeah, Section 8 housing. Like, oh, those Section 8 folks over there. Or yeah, I live in this part of town, but not in that nasty Section 8 stuff.
Wasn't
you know,
Section,
kind of stuff.
Isn't Section 8 also a crazy discharge in the Army? Like, isn't that what Klinger was bucking for was a Section 8?
I don't I know.
Think so.
I don't know what that is.
I know What's what Klinger? You mean, though. I know what you mean. And when, you know, I mean, cops used to do that. Like, well, at least they do in Dragnet, you know, at least on TV they used to do that. Like, you violated municipal code. Like, kind of like, you know, the cuss bot in Demolition Man tells you, like, what section of the San Angeles law
right,
the
right,
cussing
right.
thing is. But yeah. cops don't even know that anymore. Cops generally don't know the law at all. Part of that is because cops have gotten stupider by design, where they won't hire smart people to be cops. And part of it is just there's so many more laws. And part of it, I think, is just cops don't even have to try anymore. And they kind of look
I think the main thing is that the only law that cops follow is obey me now or else is the only thing that crosses a cop's mind.
Well, cops will sometimes bust people for things that they're not even sure if it's illegal or not,
yeah.
and you have to go to court and hire an attorney. I mean, there was somebody in Colorado, and my citation for this is a guy I know, so I don't really have a citation. But there was a guy in Colorado who was arrested for being out at a shooting range, out in the sticks, you know, a place where people go to shoot, not really a range, with a Draco, which is, or is it Drago? What are those little AK pistol type rifles? Draco, right?
I don't know.
They're really short pistol, pistol type machine. Well, they're not machine guns because they're American.
Is it just an AK without a shoulder stock?
Yeah, and a shorter barrel, but it's still legally within the rifle limit, or there's some exception to it where it's legal or it's considered a pistol or something. It's not illegal. Like, you can't have a rifle that's too short, and you can't have a pistol that doesn't have this or that, but they are legal in Colorado. And a guy got arrested for one. You know, the cop thought it was some kind of prohibited fire alarm, arrested him, put him in jail. The guy had to hire an attorney and go to court and pay all this money to basically have his attorney prove this is legal. That happens, and the cops can do it whenever they want. But we're talking
bust them now, and the courts will sort it out. Kind of like, wasn't there a military slogan, a kill them all
and let God sort them out? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Vietnam War.
I don't know if it was an actual slogan. It was probably just a saying.
No, it was in Vietnam. Okay, my source is guys I knew who were in Vietnam.
Guys you know. Okay.
They at least put it this way. Put it this way. I've met several Vietnam vets who have that on their T-shirt. Wait,
I hope you don't still talk to these people.
We need citation here. We need to issue a citation. Kill them all and let God sort them out.
It autofills.
Here's my fucking citation for anyone who wants it. Google is your friend. Why do I have to Google it? Why don't you Google it? That's my citation. Google is your friend, if you don't know, is what people post on forums when someone asks a really stupid question, where they're basically asking you to Google it when they could Google it themselves. So my citation, Google is your friend. I think that'll be the name of this episode. Maybe. I don't know.
Let's see.
Oh, I have a correction. Uh-huh. Hesperus is not Chicken Little. I implied he was because he and I were both talking about Liberty sites are going away. And I made an off-the-cuff remark saying, like, yeah, Hesperus is all acting like the sky is falling. He wasn't really, and I was doing it as much as he was. So there. All right. Go on.
Mm. Yeah. Well, according to militaryquotes.com, which doesn't look official at all, kill them all and let God sort them out was adopted by the Marines and Green Berets. The site writer says he thinks it derives from Nessa es omnis deus suis agnoset. I'm bad at Latin. Kill them all, God will know his own. A misunderstood reference to 2 Timothy, which reads, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Man, talk about taking Bible scripture and warping it for evil ends.
Yeah, I think so, man. They take whatever it is and warp it to evil ends, though.
Them.
It doesn't matter what they're taking.
Who's them? The state?
The state.
Yeah.
The state. Them, the concept, the mindset. Those who ascribe to statist doctrine.
So yes. I was talking about a hole in the law through which liberty can flow. Somehow we just got dragged back in, man. I don't know what happened, but I was fully complicit and probably leading that. But I was trying to talk about a freedom fix, man, which is basically part 15. I will link. There are a couple different transmitting units you can use. One is the – and this is not pirate radio. This is legal radio. Sometimes the FCC will still show up. And what they'll basically do is if you have – here's the advantage of paying $700 for the Procaster and antenna instead of the like $100 for the S-Stran transmitter.
FCC approved?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that that's what you're paying for somehow. Wow. Also, it's a better constructed unit, and they've got it really smart. They've got an antenna that goes on whatever pole you put it on, and the transmitter is on the pole, and it's waterproof. So, so you run a power cable that delivers your audio to the transmitter, which is on the pole, so you don't have any signal loss going from the transmitter to the antenna. And people can get like 2 or 3 mile radiuses with these if they have a high enough pole.
Nice.
And it's supposedly legal. I'm not giving legal advice here, but and the thing to do is to have that as your radio station, have a good website for it, and also have a streaming link. And I mean, this station does, when you search Part 15 stations, like Lakeshore Community Radio in Rowlett, Texas, always comes up as one of the top ones. So it is one of the top ones. He does it really well. He's got a good studio. He's got pretty good audio. Everything is solid. The stream works. And that's how you do Part 15. So if someone wants to do Part 15 and wants to play the Fiends and other stuff, have at it, man. Talk to us about it. Let us know so we can put it on the site. But the thing is, the thing that will get you taken off the air, there's two things. One is stepping on someone else's frequency. You want to find an empty frequency. The other thing is cussing. So basically, you want to find Liberty stuff and produce your own Liberty stuff that doesn't have cussing. And pretty much that means the Fiends except the fucking Wednesday show, which you're listening to. So only the weekend shows and Ben Stone and Free Talk Live. No cussing on any of them.
Yeah, yeah. There you go, man. Awesome. That's Freedom Fix. I think it is. Yeah. Yay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I liked your saying, next time someone says, I fought in a war so you could be free. What are you going to say, Michael?
I'm going to say, well, apparently you didn't do a very good job. I posted that on Facebook and immediately somebody said, I hope you get your ass kicked for saying that, which is basically saying, and it was you know, a vet. So he's basically saying, I fought for your right to free speech, but I'll kick your ass
and
if
I'll
you
kick
use
your
it.
Ass if you say something of your own free will. Yeah. I'll kick your ass if you use it. That's hilarious, man. Yes, I will fight simultaneously for your freedom at the same time I'm fighting against it. Doesn't that just sum up statism?
Yeah.
And fighting out of both ends.
Yeah, I don't really feel like anybody working for the U.S. military is fighting for freedom these days. I don't know if they ever were, but
have they ever?
But what they're fighting for now is for the sake of the coffers of the military-industrial complex. 100%, man.
Yeah,
I'm watching a video that's not public yet that someone just sent me of someone burning an anarchy symbol into a U.S. Constitution or a copy of one. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, screw that whole thing, man. Screw the Constitution.
Well,
I liked
what they said about it. They were retiring it. You know, like when a flag is damaged beyond repair and no longer useful, you have a ceremony to literally burn the flag, which is kind of ironic because when people burn a flag as a protest, it's considered extremely unpatriotic. But the patriotic thing to do with a damaged flag is to ceremoniously burn it. So I guess it's all about intent. So they said that they were retiring the Constitution because it's no longer useful.
When was it ever useful? But okay, we won't split hairs here, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when we did our Sunday or Saturday interviews with the folks out there in Michigan, they had told a story about burning the Constitution. And I said, well, you were cremating it because it's dead. But I don't know if it's all dead, man. The bad parts in it are alive and kicking, like the parts where it sets up a federal government and gives them the power to raise taxes and promote the, quote, general welfare. That kind of stuff is directly responsible, at least in part, for all the tyranny you see today. It's that kind of stuff's responsible for bear cats on the streets and cops on every corner and stop and frisk, which is now being pursued in Detroit as well.
Well, you know what else is responsible for all of that is people not using the Second Amendment. And I'm not advocating any violence at all. But the way that that thing was set up, my understanding of it is that it was basically so you would shoot people who stole from you too quickly. And I don't even know that this is the problem, but I don't want to say, well, the problem is that Americans haven't used it. I just want to say I think that's fact. And it's far too late for that to work, and it's not moral for that to work because you'd be killing people, not institutions. And the only way you can kill an institution is to reduce the demand for it peacefully.
Yes.
But the reason we have so much tyranny now, if you want to talk about the patriotic answer in the Constitution, is Americans have been far too polite. Americans are too polite to shoot people who fuck with them, you know? And I'm kind of glad they haven't, because it's I don't like war. I don't like bloody messes. I don't like the idea of a civil war. It sounds horrible, man. I really don't like the idea of it at all.
I don't know if it was a matter of politeness. I think it's just a matter of of not asking questions and not realizing that you don't have to have somebody tell you what to do. Enough people having it beaten out of them, their independent will, and having instead that gap filled with nothing but propaganda towards obedience. That, to me, is the main problem.
Yeah.
You know, I have I don't know if he's a new fan or not, but he seems to be really wary of the gun stuff. But he's a Fiend listener, and he's a Nima fan. He likes my music.
The guy in Iran.
Yeah. And I guess he posted something, I dream of a world where the gun is no longer necessary. And it's fine, I guess, to dream of that as a fantasy, as long as you realize it is nothing but a fantasy. And I think I heard Sheldon Richmond put it really well, that who would even want to live in a world where there is no gun? I mean, maybe you could say I want to live in a world where one is not necessary because men are angels, but we'll never live in that world.
Well, also, you'd starve to death unless you ate plankton. I guess people could live a vegetarian life, but I think you would die.
Raise your own animals.
I think bears would eat you. You know, that book about building the windowed, non-bunker, beautiful underground house – it's a really interesting book because the guy pretty much comes off as a hippie when you read his writing. And I was thinking through the whole thing, like, how does he live in the deep woods being such a pacifist? But then there's a picture of him in there holding a Mauser 8mm rifle next to a dead bear that tried to get him and he shot it. So I guess he's not a pussy. He's a hippie with a gun, man.
Hippie with a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing about guns is they're an equalizer, right? So if in a world without a gun, right, but you still have people that want to aggress against others, then it becomes the biggest, strongest people get to beat up and throw around and throw their weight around against other people. Then you have the kind of state of nature you can see in ape societies or hierarchies and other parts of nature that you see where it's just the biggest, strongest that get to basically run everything and have all the resources. You know, think about women. You know, I really love using women as a good case study when it comes to self-defense and guns is, you know, your average woman is probably smaller than your average man and definitely smaller than your biggest man. And she should be able to defend herself from rape by whatever is the best tool at her disposal. And guns are a great way because they allow you to have range and defend yourself. And they're easy to use. You know, yeah. They don't require a whole lot of skill, a whole lot of training. I would say they require a basic amount of knowledge and safety, but it's not rocket science. I guess it kind of is if you get into the hand loading and stuff like that. But at a basic level, you can buy something that's relatively cheap and basically protect yourself from all comers if you exclude the state.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of a place to go with this. And then thought of a better place to go with this. The place I was going to go with this, I'll just mention in passing, was and I'm not saying that he was being childlike or anything by saying I dream of a world without a gun. I dream of a world where I wouldn't need to carry a gun, where everyone would be angelic and sweet. But the only option of a world where citizens don't have guns is a world where only police have guns.
Yes.
And that is a scarier thought to me. And it requires like 30% of the population to be police and to be everywhere on every corner in everyone's house, which is never going to be any kind of free world. But where I really want to go with this is I was wondering the other day about natural selection and how humans got to where they are now in a good way. And thinking like, you know, it must have been a combination of survival of the fittest, of the strongest and the smartest, because otherwise we would have really dumb people only who never would have been able to come up with things like machines that would amplify strength like guns or like the lever or like fire or automobiles
or the wheel
or you know, computers or any of the wonderful things about the world that we dig. And it must have been a combination of, you know, the strongest survived. And then at some point where the brain of the proto-human developed enough to where the smart ones sometimes had the advantage because they could either trick the dumb ones who were stronger or to get away from them, or to not be hurt by them, or they were better at hunting because they were smarter. And I think it was both. I think that strength and brains survived in the smartest. And it's an interesting place we're at in society now, because of machines and because of the overarching tyranny of the state, people who would literally starve to death in nature are encouraged to breed. I mean, that's the whole idiocracy thing.
Very true. Here's the other thing, if we're going to think about the path of how man got here, is the fact that we're social animals and so social. You know, solitary confinement is considered torture for a reason. It's because it's against human nature, I think, or at least it feels awful to not be able to share some parts of your life with others. And I think that that's one of the reasons why brain and brawn were able to coexist, is because humanity sort of grew up as a society and it was a division of labor. So you needed strong people, you know, to help build the things, and smart people to help design the things, and everybody working together, and people who are also really good at communicating. I mean, one of the things about humans is so much of our brain is devoted to things like being able to read and communicate with other human beings. And I really think that that, in essence, was how – I mean, that's the market, right? It's people interacting to further humankind. And I think that that's another thing the state is obviously antithetical to. And like we discussed with Ben Stone on Sunday, the state is not just something we have a distaste for. It's probably the biggest threat to the human species that one could ever imagine or think up. You know, if you lived before the state existed, it would be something you could tell as a horror story. In fact, Ben has a theory that maybe if the Bible's not, you know, verbatim, maybe this part of what it was a horror story of what the state could be, an allegory to keep people from putting their faith in the state and put it in some kind of god of nature instead.
Cooperation has been very important for the survival of any species. I mean, most mammals are social creatures. You know, cats, they hang out together. When they're feral, they hang out in groups. They hunt in groups. People hung out in groups. Early man hung out in groups and learned to cooperate, to hunt together. You know, four guys with spears who are good at communicating to each other, either through grunts or through hand signals, are a lot more effective hunting unit than one guy alone. And that's right. So the people that were able, not only strong and smart, but maybe some of those people weren't strong or smart, but were willing to cooperate and learn enough to work with others. And those are the ones who survived.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't hate, I guess this is a good place to wrap up by saying that we don't really hate. People look at people who hate the state and hate government as like there's something wrong with them. Like, that's a mental illness. I mean, you know, back to Russia and beyond. And that's getting more common now. And if they don't think you're mentally ill, they at least think you have, you know, you had toilet training problems or daddy issues to where, you know, you must hate authority. But here's the thing, man. What I really hate is the strong and stupid picking on the weak and smart, or even whether take the intelligence out of it. I hate the strong picking on the weak. And that's what the state does. And you know, like, I'm a cat person, and not a lot of males are cat people. And that's one of the things that attracted my wife to me. The reason I love cats, I think, is because there's something to protect. There's something that needs nurturing. And, you know, I mean, I guess without humans, they can survive in the wild, but they don't look very happy. I've seen feral cats, man. They look skinny and skittish. And, you know, with the love of a human and the protection of a human, a cat becomes a really wonderful thing. And they're the underdog. I'm looking up for the underdog when I have cats. And I guess I'm protecting, like, the thing in me through cats vicariously that was picked on when I was a kid, maybe. I just love cats. But I really hate when strong things pick on weak things. And that is the state by definition.
Yeah, it really is. Well, think about people who are statists, who they vilify, who their demons are, who the scapegoats are. It's always the weak. It's never somebody who's more powerful than the United States government or more powerful than Merca. It's immigrants. It's people who can barely afford to feed their family because they live in a socialist hellhole, so they want to come over here. Those people who are just trying to make their lives better because they're in a weak position. And statists want to bring the whole force of the state down on them from above to crush them. Or it's people who live thousands of miles away in the Middle East who are in similar situations but much worse because the status hellholes they live in, which were mostly created by American foreign policy, will kill them. And there's bombs literally flying from the most advanced and powerful military in the world, missiles being launched into their schools and weddings and homes. Those are people who are weaker than this, obviously. I mean, the places where drone strikes are most prevalent are the poorest. It's places like Yemen, you know, and Afghanistan.
With the exception of the dronings going on in Pakistan, you know who the U.S. really doesn't fuck with? People that have the nukes.
Well, yeah, that's one thought too, other than, yeah, Pakistan, which is the big glaring exception. But obviously there's some cooperation between the Afghan military state and the American military state there, or else it wouldn't be happening.
Which is basically like, you know, a nuke is an equalizer, like a gun at a global level. And I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying everyone should have a nuke. They should be available at Walmart. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying, like, you know, the 8 or 10 countries that the United States does not fuck with are generally ones that have nukes.
Yeah. Well, you get a nuclear weapon and you get to be welcomed into that very exclusive club. And I mean, they'll attack people who they pretend are creating nukes, people like Iran. But if Iran the next day announced, like North Korea did, that we have nukes, I mean, you don't see troops going into North Korea, do you?
Nope.
There's obviously a lot more treading with caution going on in North Korea.
They have troops at the 38th parallel parading back and forth on both sides, look mad dogging each other. And to even pass a message of, we found one of your bodies in our river, they have to, like, use Russian World War II technology.
Right. But yeah, I mean, that's the state. The state seeks to be the pinnacle of all human life and obviously crushes anything that would seek to come up, stomps on the ground, tries to crush all the weaker than itself, like little bugs. And I'm not into that, man. If you want to know if somebody's a good person, see if they're attacking the powerful or ridiculing the powerful that are attacking the weak, or if they're joining the powerful in attacking the weak. And I think you'll know what kind of person they are.
Worms. I got one more thing. Do you want to read this thing that Larkin Rose wrote us about Orange is the New Black?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This will be our kicker.
Yep.
from Mr. Larkin Rose himself, who did spend some time in federal prison for tax protesting, basically, trying to get them in a legal loophole.
Trying to get the bully not beat him up.
Yeah, with the bully's own rules. And the bully was like, nah, I'm changing the rules now. Go to the cage. Go to the corner. Or sitting on his back, I guess, and making him eat dirt. Larkin says of Orange is the New Black, holy crap, I watched the pilot episode of Orange is the New Black, and I would bet serious money, if I had any, that the writers have totally been to federal prison. Every tiny little detail about everything is dead on accurate. Well, where I was, there weren't nude babes making out in the showers, but other than that, I mean, all the terminology, the attitudes, the lingo, the procedures, the setting, it was actually so familiar as to be disturbing. Usually it seems like Hollywood and TV producers probably interview some expert for 10 minutes and then just randomly make crap up.
Yeah.
But that show is astonishingly accurate in every detail. It was like being back there again, which ain't necessarily a good thing. Hopefully he can have the courage to continue watching and give us more feedback. I'd love to have more dispatches from Larkin on Orange is the New Black.
Worms. That's all I got today. Worms. How about you?
That's it, man. Just keep up the good work, Michael. I really appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the good listening, fiends, and the good contributions for all our fiends who do that. Comment on the website. Visit the website. Listen to the show.
Send donations.
And, I love you all. Send donations.
And yes. Keep up the good worms.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.